Hey, welcome back to the Sports Legacy Podcast. Your host, Daniel, and we have Jason with me today. Caleb is taking the day off here, so it'll just be me and Jason, so you get to hear us ramble on about some stuff today. Feeling good. We got some good topics for you guys. If you didn't listen to our last podcast, go listen to that first round mock that we did. Came out probably, pretty interesting.
Yeah, probably one of the more unique mocks out there. A lot of people fell and a lot of people went pretty early.
It's funny, me and Caleb were actually talking about that, and I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't want to keep, you know, we would have gone on for hours if we would have just explained every pick. But it's funny because he took Trayvon Mullen for the Chiefs, and I was like, that was a weird pick for the Chiefs. Like, I know they need a corner, but he's like, why didn't you take DeAndre Baker? And he was like, oh, he was still on the board? And I was like, yeah. I was like, DeAndre Baker fits that scheme way better than Trayvon Mullen. He was like, oh, yeah, well, then I would have done that. So if you haven't listened to that first-round pick, we're going to – if you had that first-round mock that we did, just ex-nay Trayvon Mullen from Caleb's pick and add DeAndre Baker there.
Trayvon Mullen isn't bad, though.
Oh, I don't think he is either. I just don't think, like, his style of play is what the Chiefs need. I think DeAndre Baker is definitely, like, the better scheme fit for them.
I think kind of the fear with Baker is that he's not the most athletic player, not the most athletic DB in this draft. And, but he definitely is probably the most physical, and I would say has the biggest chance of being your Alexander or your Casey Hayward of the draft. Very technical and just doesn't have all the athletic traits that a lot of these guys have. Like Greedy Williams is 6'3". I think Trayvon Mullen is a bit faster than Baker. So who knows?
For sure.
It's just what the team really decides to go with.
Right.
I feel like I'd take DeAndre Baker over Trayvon Mullen, but you never know.
Yeah, I would. I think I have him graded. DeAndre's my like second graded. What am I trying to say here? Corner, in this draft behind Byron Murphy. But speaking of draft things, the off season is officially started. We slept through that very boring Super Bowl.
There's a lot of people that will be angry that you said boring.
Oh, I know.
It was a defensive battle. It wasn't boring.
Yeah. Trey Wingo, but, you know, he's not going to listen to this, so I don't really care.
You know what, though, is, yeah, I can respect the defensive play of both teams, but a lot of it was really just the offensive inability of Jared Goff and Tom Brady.
I know. It's
I respect what Tom Brady did in the fourth quarter. He kind of did what he needed to do to get the win. But Jared Goff looked terrible. That play that Jason McCourty broke up in the back of the end zone, which was a phenomenal play, not taking anything from McCourty. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That was real good.
That was a touchdown if he threw that 2 seconds
easily.
Sooner. Cooks was just standing in the back of the end zone.
Dude, his eyes on the field are so bad. Like, They showed it, and I'm going to go back and watch this now that we have a little Game Pass action. I'll probably post some stuff on Twitter, but, like, there was multiple times that I can't remember who it was. It was either I think it was Robert Woods ran a drag route across the middle.
And was just wide open.
And he was just wide open, and I was like, and that would have put them in great field position to score and tie the game up, and maybe I think even at that point they would have gone ahead. So Jared Goff's still young, and I don't think he deserves the hype that he's getting because I haven't seen him honestly make anything worthy of being called anything like one of the great upcoming rookies, to be honest.
And you know what's kind of a weird thing is earlier this season, I was even saying it when it was Rams versus Chiefs. I said, this is the game of two good quarterbacks looking like elite quarterbacks because of the team and scheme around them and because of the defenses on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that when Aqib Talib came back, the Rams defense looked phenomenally better, like far and away. And so I would say I was lower on Goff than most were at the start of this season. Everybody was super high on him. I was kind of like, no. And it's kind of opposite now. I think he's getting a little too much hate. He's still a good quarterback.
He's still good.
I'd give him a solid C-plus, B-minus grade over the, like, as a quarterback. But you see a lot of people now who are just like, nah, the Rams, if they want to win anything, they need to go get a quarterback. I think they got a lot more to worry about than going and getting another quarterback.
Oh, yeah. I think Jared Goff with good coaching. Like, I think Sean McVay is a good coach. I think he just got out-coached.
I will say this. Imagine Kyler Murray on the Rams.
That would be crazy.
That's the only player I would maybe say, like, if he falls to you, you take him and buy Goff, I guess.
I saw a funny thing. I don't know who posted it on Twitter or whatever, but I found it pretty interesting that, like, Baker Mayfield. Sorry, I'm still, you know, we talked about that yesterday. Still got Baker on the brain. But Kyler Murray could almost leverage to go anywhere he wants. Because say, like, you know, for instance, say if Jacksonville called him, hey, we want to pick you in the draft if you come to the NFL. It's like, oh, well, if you pick me, I'm just going to go play baseball.
Oh, it was Daniel Jeremiah that tweeted that.
Yeah, and I'm like, I mean, that makes complete sense. Like, he could do that. He could just...
He'd get a bad rap, but he could.
Like, I mean, it doesn't... Yeah, he would definitely get a bad rap. I mean, I think with that interview, I think it's not going his way at the moment, but I don't really... In my opinion, I think that... it was a bad interview, but it was kind of blown out of proportion on how bad it ruined his, like... I don't want to say draft stock, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like...
He just wants to keep quiet. There's nothing
bad
about it.
Yeah, he just wants to keep quiet. I think he's to a point where he's just annoyed. And he was like, I'm getting sponsored by Gatorade to get on this show and make some money. And then, I mean, he should have, like, to be honest, he should have known the questions were coming. He should be able to give the typical answer that he's given 6 million times to everybody else. But
yeah,
I think he's just tired of getting asked that question. But
I mean, he already knows. You can tell by the interview when he wasn't saying anything. Yeah. He already knows what he's doing, and he was just kind of trying to beat around the bush. And what I gathered from watching that interview is he's playing football. It's kind of clear as day.
I think he's made, honestly, like, if you want my opinion, I think he's had his mind made up for a while. Like, I would honestly say before the Heisman ceremony, I think he's known what he's gonna do. But speaking of things, off season has officially started. Something like we wanted to talk about was one off season move that we want to see.
I think we should do two since Caleb's out.
That's probably good. We could do one for our team and one for, you know, just a random one.
Yeah. You want me to start with it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the first offseason move I would want to see is actually going to be my team move, and that is Grady Jarrett to the Chargers. He's been one of the more underrated defensive tackles in the league for a while now, and I think with him, you get one of those undersized, quote-unquote, guys that everybody says won't work as a defensive tackle, but then all of a sudden comes into the league and is just a game wrecker, one being Aaron Donald. And so I feel like with how the Patriots abused the Chargers with the running game and that championship, right, if the Chargers go out and get themselves a Grady Jarrett, you're really going to see an identity kind of formed with that defense, where the identity they tried to form this postseason was, we're fast. And they'd put all their DBs onto the field. They'd get all their pass rushers onto the field and just say, beat us. with power if you can, but you're not going to beat us with speed. And unfortunately, the Patriots beat them both ways. So that kind of sucked. But I think if they go and get Grady Jarrett, it eliminates one of the biggest needs they have going into the draft, and they can kind of free themselves and take the best player available instead, which I think is a huge deal when you're going into a draft. If you can take your biggest need out with free agency and take the best player available.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I would agree. And it's funny because this this free agency class is defensive heavy, and the draft is also defensive heavy. It's funny how those two things like are working out. Like if you go look at the top like 25 free agent list, it's literally all defensive players for the most part.
Yeah, like the best offensive free agent I think in this class is Le'Veon. I was gonna say Tyrell Williams, but I forgot Le'Veon actually had that whole episode. Forgot he actually
Teddy Bridgewater's technically a free agent.
Yeah, he'll be fun to watch. But it's like when you have Tyrell Williams, who's listed as, I think it was PFF's second best offensive free agent. That's bad. That is really bad.
Do you want me to go for me, and then we go back to you? I'll start with my team as well. This is a kind of a concept I grabbed from Mile High Report, just one of the Bronco Twitter pages I follow. I think for Denver, you know, we have Vaughn, we have Chubb. A couple like of our needs would be offensive line, safety, corner, obviously. And I think inside linebacker is a big one. Brandon Marshall and Todd Davis are both good players, but I think for what we need at the moment, I don't think they're enough. And so I think corner we take care of in the draft. I mean, there's Ronald Darby, and then I'm assuming Trevor Williams will be available. So there's some decent corners, but none to where I think we should go out and spend big money, especially with our position at 10 in round one and our position in second round. So I think would love to see the Broncos, one, sign Matt Paradis again, keep him at center. I think that's definitely going to happen. I would be very surprised if he left, went to a different team. But the biggest move I think I want us to go after, if available, I want us to go after CJ Mosley and pay him some money.
Yeah. I've heard that one. I don't know if the Ravens are going to re-sign him.
Like, I don't know if they're going to either.
And I know they like to keep their guys around for a long time.
Right.
But I feel like I haven't heard much about them trying to get CJ Mosley back. I've actually been paying attention to it, and I haven't heard much about it. So I don't even know at this point what they're doing with him.
Right. And I think our cap room, Denver's cap room, is there. We go out because I don't think we're going to sign Bradley Roby again. That's not how it's looking according to like different reports I've read. So I think Roby's out. We're going to have we have a pretty good amount of cap space at the moment. So I think we go out, get CJ Mosley. That closes down. Then you have Vaughn and Chubb on the edge, and then you have CJ Mosley in the middle, which is like, that's awesome. We go get draft a corner. I think honestly, safety wise, Justin Simmons was, and I think I've told you guys this before, Justin Simmons got spread out so much. I think he played corner, slot corner, free safety, strong safety. He even moved down into the linebacker position a couple times. So he was spread out so much that he never got to really focus on his safety position. So Darian Stewart's kind of going down, but I think Will Parks and Justin Simmons play well enough to hold it down to where that's not an immediate need at the moment.
Yeah, I feel it.
But
just something you earlier mentioned, I've heard reports from decent sources that Trevor Williams is actually probably going to get signed again here. They're probably going to use a tender on him, whether it's a second round tender or whatever they use.
He's been injured all year, right?
Yeah. I believe he's a restricted free agent right now.
Okay. Who is the what other offseason move you looking for in another team?
So this one is very dependent on what the Patriots decide to do, but I know that the Patriots don't have a ton of cap space, and Trey Flowers might hit free agency. And Trey Flowers is one of those very underrated players in the NFL right now.
Him and Chris Jones are at that same like underrated level. Like
Nobody really talks about them, but they both can change a game in one play. And I think Trey Flowers has potential to be one of the highest paid free agents in this class. And a place I could really see him going is actually to Dallas. I don't know that DeMarcus Lawrence is going to stay in Dallas. And I think DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be... I kind of take back my earlier statement. DeMarcus Lawrence is probably going to be the highest paid player in this class because he's an edge, and he's a really good edge. And probably the top edge available in free agency in quite a while. And so I think when DeMarcus Lawrence ends up going somewhere else, I think Dallas just isn't going to want to pay him that much when they have Zeke's contract coming up here pretty soon, Dak's contract coming up here pretty soon.
Right.
And you know, you hear all the reports that they want to pay Dak franchise quarterback money, like up in the $100 million. And so...
Such a waste.
I think with all of that coming up, and then Amari Cooper's is coming up pretty soon too, right? If I'm correct.
Yeah, because they didn't extend. Well, he signed that big contract with Oakland.
Did he?
So I think he's got at least 2 or 3 years left on his. I think they have Cooper for a while.
So with just all the players offensively they have to sign coming up here pretty soon, I think they don't pay Lawrence. I think they let him walk. They try. I think they'll try.
I think that's inaccurate.
And I think, as kind of to compensate for that, they bring in Trey Flowers from the Patriots. And I think that's kind of the move that I'm most looking forward to, because I really like Trey Flowers, and this Cowboys roster is young. Trey Flowers is younger than DeMarcus Lawrence. And if they keep this young roster going and keep the youth coming in, I think Dallas looks like it's going to be good for a while. If it just depends on Dak and the weapons around him.
Yeah. I don't like... I'm not a huge fan of Dak Prescott, but I mean, if you give him tools around him, he plays okay. So, but I like that Trey Flowers to Dallas. That's good. For me, I think now I'm looking through the list here. I think it would be interesting. I was listening to the Stick to Football podcast the other day, and they were talking about a bunch of different things. And I guess like it's been put on the table that the Dolphins are kind of done with Ryan Tannehill.
I've heard that. I don't
know if that's going to be the case, but here's what I would love to see happen. I think Miami moves on from Ryan Tannehill. They go out and try to get... That's where I actually think... I would love for Teddy Bridgewater to stay in New Orleans and take over when Drew Brees retires. But I think I would want Miami to go out and grab Teddy Bridgewater. Sign him. I think he's a good fit for that offense. I think he's from Miami as well. I think that's like his his hometown, so he that's brings him home there. And I think they can add some extra talent on that offensive line in this draft, especially give him some protection. I mean, he's got good receivers, you know, my boy Kenny Stills, and then you have Devontae Parker out there, which hopefully his career gets a little revamp with a different quarterback throwing him the ball. But I would love to see the Dolphins go out for Teddy Bridgewater and give Teddy Bridgewater a home, because I like his play. I think he's just been in some weird situations, but I personally liked the move of the Saints getting him. Now he's sat for under a year under Drew Brees, probably learned some stuff. So I think Teddy is ready for a team of his own, because I don't think Drew Brees is retiring anytime soon.
So it's a shame, because I really love Teddy Bridgewater, and that injury just kind of broke my heart.
Right.
If Teddy was still a Viking when the whole Minnesota miracle happened that year with Case Keenum, do the Vikings go to the Super Bowl over the Eagles? I think they do.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame, because Teddy was in a position where he was growing every year, and you can see it. You can see him getting better and better. He was delivering the deep ball, getting a lot better at that. And his receivers always praised how much he knew and like how they would build a chemistry with him. And it's like, it's just, I hate to think about it, because it's just kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, I hope he. That's definitely one of the ones I want to see this.
I want to see him start.
I want to see.
I want to see him go somewhere.
Right. I want to see him go somewhere, be the quarterback for that team, and I think he's perfect fit for Miami. Cool. So we can do more off-season stuff. Thought it'd be cool to do. We pick for each other's teams. So I'll pick for the Chargers, and you can pick for the Denver. Round one and round two. I can go ahead and kick this off. So in my actual, let me pull up my mock draft here that I've done. Let's see here. Because I think with you saying the thing about Grady Jarrett, so we'll keep it like hypothetical as we're moving. So let's say the Chargers go out and get Grady Jarrett. You pretty much have that defensive tackle position, for the most part, taken care of at that point. So I kind of agree with what you were talking about when we did the first round mock. I think Devin Bush would be a perfect fit if he falls to you guys. That gives you some extra linebacking help. With Bosa and Ingram on either side, then you have Devin Bush to help them out, plus Grady Jarrett. I think round one, you guys, I can see you guys taking offensive line too, possibly like Jawan Taylor, or it just depends on who's on the board at the moment, which this is one of those drafts where kind of everything's all over the place with like.
I actually like the offensive line in the first round this year.
Yeah, like I think I like Andre Dillard from Washington State. I think that's a good one. Because you guys need help more in the tackle position, correct?
It's tough because we got Forrest Lamp just chilling as a backup guard for some reason. And so it's tough to say. Dan Feeney did not look good this year. Michael Schofield didn't look good this year. But with Forrest Lamp just chilling there, and then Dan Feeney being a great run, like run blocker is what I'm looking for. I think guard can wait another year to see if it really works out. I think right tackle is definitely the need, which would be perfect for like a Jawan Taylor kind of player.
Yeah, I think that's the pick I'm gonna take for you guys. I'm gonna take a tackle in the first round. Jawan Taylor from Florida is the way to go there in the first round. So
love it.
Who you got for me round one? Pick 10.
All right. Round one, pick 10 for the Broncos. I actually think they trade back from this pick. And
do you think they trade back?
I think they do. And
interesting.
I don't think, I know we've all kind of assumed that Elway wants Drew Lock. Everybody's kind of just accepted this because you just, he scouted him probably more than any team out there. And he's talked about him more than any other quarterback he's talked about. I think everybody's just kind of accepted that Elway's in love with Drew Lock. Now, here's my thing. And Caleb would kill me for saying this, but I don't think Drew Lock is a first-round quarterback, not top 10. I don't
Yeah, he would kill you for saying that.
I just, the more I think about it, the more I watch Lock, I can't justify if the Chargers needed a quarterback this year and we were top 10 and they took Drew Lock, I would just be livid. I would be very angry. I don't think that's the way to go. If you're taking Haskins, then maybe, because right. He's not going to fall. He's going to go top 10. And to get Haskins or Murray, the Broncos are actually going to have to trade up. So I think the Broncos actually trade down. And I think they actually go and take a offensive tackle in Dalton Risner.
Ooh, that's interesting.
And they get their extra pick so that maybe potentially they can go get Drew Lock. However far he falls, if they might trade back up, who knows? But I think with that pick, that extra pick they get when they trade down, they get Dalton Risner in the first round and just take the best quarterback available, whether it be Drew Lock, Will Greer, who knows? I know you wouldn't like the Will Greer pick.
Oh, heck no.
I wouldn't either
if Will it was my team. Will Greer shouldn't go anywhere above round four, in my opinion. But
with just the new coaching staff there, we don't know if they're trustworthy yet. With right. the line they have, we don't know if that line's trustworthy, even though they're getting a lot of help coming back after injury. So if you don't know what you're getting, I feel like a quarterback is not the best idea yet.
Yeah.
To just sell out and say, okay, we're Super Bowl ready or we're playoff ready. Let's go get Drew Lock early, because I feel like that's a luxury pick. I don't feel like that's the right pick. I feel like that's a luxury pick if your team is ready right. for the playoffs, ready to go. I don't think they're ready to pull the trigger yet. I think you got to build a little bit more, get a little more ammo.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say Dalton Risner, because in the event that for some reason we don't sign Matt Paradis, Dalton Risner is actually like being talked about moving to center or guard, mm-hmm. Which are two. Now, I think we could use a right tackle for sure.
I think he could play all five positions on the line. Maybe left tackle is a little bit too much for him, but I think he could play left guard or right tackle.
And to be honest, like, I talked a lot of crap on Garrett Bowles, like a lot. I think for the most part he improved. It's just the penalties just like killed him last year. So I don't think he's done enough to be out at that left tackle spot. So a pick like Dalton Risner makes sense, because then we have, you know, we have an option at center if Paradis walks, and then he could probably move over at tackle or guard. Yeah, I think Risner's that's a good pick. I like that. It's different from any other mocks.
And I still think there's a chance they go and get Drew Lock later. I think Drew Lock's. Here's the thing. If he doesn't go top 10, if Lock does not go top 10,
right?
I don't think he goes until late 20s or even the second round.
Yeah.
People might fall in love with the arm talent. Who knows? But, man, I'm sorry, Caleb. You know, if he listens to this, I hope he skips over it and doesn't blow up on me. But I can't justify Lock being a top 10 selection with all the talent on the board there.
Those are fighting words.
Yeah, and I think, like, even if Denver stays at 10, there's no way they take Lock. They're going to take a defensive player.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I you know me. I don't want us to take Lock, because I just don't like this quarterback class, to be honest. And I don't think Kyler Murray is the type of quarterback that John Elway wants. So
he wants that Cowherd kind of quarterback.
Yeah, I know. Ugh, it's annoying. So round two, for you guys, depending on, like I said, depending on who's available, now random question. Derwin James plays free safety, correct?
Strong
safety.
He started the year at free safety. Jahlil Adai moved back to play free. Derwin played, I think he played most of his snaps in a strong safety role. Second most snaps was in linebacker. Third most was at edge. And then last was corner, slot corner.
So I know he moves up in a lot of different drafts, in people's mock drafts, but I think this guy falls, pending that you guys fix your, you get Grady Jarrett, keeping that in mind, still like that happened. I think the Chargers, because I think this guy could fall easily, not because he's not good, but I just think the way it's going to go, I think he's going to fall. And I think you guys get Nasir Adderley to pair up with Derwin. So then you have him playing free safety, Derwin playing strong safety.
That'd be nasty.
It would be quite gross. I think for the most part, I mean, if you guys fix that defensive line in the what am I trying to say?
Interior.
In the interior through free agency, you draft an offensive lineman first round, second round, I think Nasir Adderley falls, and then you add him to that secondary, and then, I mean, what else more could you want? I know you'd be super pumped if that happened.
I was very surprised in the mock that we did last episode that Nasir Adderley was taken by Caleb in the first round. I was very surprised.
I could see him going first round, but at the same time, like I said, I don't know. I think he's going to fall.
And I not think because second round is a good place for him.
Yeah, and not because he's bad.
No, he's good.
He's great, but I just think with the type of talent that's in this draft, I think he falls. So round two, Denver Broncos.
All right, so we gave them an offensive lineman.
Yep.
They have the receivers, the young receivers they can build around, and Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton.
Yep.
They still got Emmanuel Sanders on the team, who I still think is a fantastic receiver, one of my favorite players. And they've got their running back. So I feel like, even though I kind of want to give them a quarterback in the second round, I almost don't want to, because at this point, beginning of the second, is Drew Lock available? I don't think so. And next up, you have your Daniel Jones or your Will Greer. And I don't really want to give that to Denver. I mean, I would like it as a Chargers fan, but I know you wouldn't like it. And if I was the GM of Denver, I wouldn't take it.
And I don't think they do that. I mean, if they can't get Drew Lock, they don't go quarterback.
And so I think with Denver here, I think I'm going to go linebacker. And there's a couple guys I like here, being one, Tavon Coney out of Notre Dame.
It's a good one. I like him.
I don't think he's going to go in the second. I think he'll go in the third or fourth, though. So I feel like it would be a reach to take him here. Denver's tough because they have talent. It's just, I feel like their best bet is to take best player available. And they also have some D tackles, interior D line leaving, correct? Like, what's Peko doing?
Peko is at the end of his contract. However, Shelby Harris, Adam Gotsis are still there. So, and the way they played this year, there's no way we go D tackle. Maybe later, but I think Gotsis and Shelby Harris played way too good this year for us to even take anything D tackle wise. And they're both still like fairly young. So, and we took Gotsis like two drafts ago. So he's still on a rookie contract for another year or two.
So linebacker is tough. I want to give him a linebacker. But linebacker is tough because after that first round of linebackers where you've got your Devin White, Mac Wilson, Trey Lamar, stuff like that. And so right now, I think who is on the board is Trey Lamar out of Clemson and Tavon Coney out of Notre Dame. And I think the Broncos are going to go Trey Lamar here because you've got your edge guys, Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, and then you've got your strong interior D line. So it's kind of a team built with a great front seven. And I think they want to add some size here in a thumper in Trey Lamar, who is 6'4", 255, and moves well for a guy that big. And so I think Trey Lamar is a good pick here in the beginning of the second round. And I think, even though I really like Tavon Coney, I just don't think John Elway goes with that undersized linebacker, quote-unquote undersized at 6'1", 240. John Elway is a very traditional kind of GM in the prospects he picks. You can kind of tell with how he picked Cortland Sutton so early. Though I love the player that he turned into, the player he was coming out of into the draft was not great. But he really developed into a really good receiver. Yeah. So I think they go Trey Lamar here in the second round.
You don't think we go corner?
I think they're gonna focus on corner and free agency. I really do.
Yeah.
They still got Chris Harris. What's his name? The third corner who bounced out when Roby returned to the slot.
What's his name? Isaac Yodom.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, Yodom didn't play too bad. I mean, he struggled real early, but he picked it up towards the end. That's a good one, like thinking of you just reminded me of that. Yeah. He picked it up at the end of the season, so I like that take. So with the little bit of time we have here, wanted to talk about the AAF, which starts this week. Super pumped about that. Football's not over, which is awesome. Get to actually watch, something until the draft. Keep me occupied.
As soon as this Saturday, too.
Yeah, so we get to be occupied until that draft season. But we wanted to talk about and I think with what we have, I'll just go back-to-back here. One player to watch, and I think I'm going to do one player in general, like across the league, and then one player on the team I will be pulling for, which is the Salt Lake Stallions. So on that team specifically, it's a really interesting roster if you look at it, because there's not like a ton of like huge names in there from like, previous like NFL, whatever. But the name that I want to put on everybody's radar, one of the starting running backs, Matt Asiata is the starting running back for the Stallions. You remember him from
Vikings.
The Vikings. And he actually played for the Lions too. For a little bit. I think he's actually like still listed as if you like go look him up, I'm pretty sure he's still listed as a Detroit running back. But I always liked him in the NFL. I don't think he was like, it's kind of like one of those situations like with Damian Williams. I don't think he was ever like utilized correctly, and then Damian found his team. So I think Mike Alstott is why I keep saying that. But I think Matt Asiata is going to be, could arguably be like the top rusher in the AAF this year. I've always liked his moves. He's got a pretty good one cut, 230, so he's built built strong, almost 6 feet. So I think as far as that goes, I think that's the guy to watch out for on the Stallions. Another, I'm going to go kind of biased here. The Arizona Hotshots.
Trevor Knight.
Trevor Knight. My boy, Trevor Knight.
That was going to be my pick, actually, for in general.
I think Trevor Knight will be the best quarterback in the AAF this year.
I was going to say Josh Johnson, but it looks like the Redskins are going to keep him.
Yeah, so is he not going to play?
I think Josh Johnson might actually be the starter for the Redskins going into next year. So I don't think I don't think he's going to come back to the AAF. I think he's taken.
Well, yeah, and definitely, like, so, like I said, I'm biased, and technically Trevor Knight went to Texas A&M after the fact, but Trevor Knight won us the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, so Trevor Knight's still a Sooner, whether he transferred or not, and I think Trevor Knight is easily the best quarterback in the AAF, and I think he's going to kind of bring that winning spirit. The reason I don't think the reason he didn't last in the NFL, I don't think, was because he kind of lacked on arm strength for the most part. So I think that was like a big,
I think his arm strength was fine. I think his deep ball was fine. I think it was his zip. Like when you talk about fitting it into tight windows,
he floated balls.
I don't think he
balls,
had the anticipation and zip to really succeed at the next level.
Yeah. But I think in this league, and I, you know, it'd be cool, honestly, like if he made his way back to the NFL. But I think in the AAF, I think he's gonna do a lot of good things. I think he's gonna lead the Hot Shots to some good wins. He knows how to play in big moments and everything like that. So yeah, that's definitely, those are my two people to watch out for: Matt Asiata and Trevor Knight.
All right, so the player I'm going to start with is going to be part of the San Diego Fleet, which is the team I'm kind of following. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily rooting for them, but I'm definitely going to be following them. And just because I'm kind of want to keep, I already have my team in the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't really want to go and, I kind of want to relax and just watch the AAF. But yeah, the team I'm going to follow is definitely going to be the Fleet. So the player I'm going to pick for them is Cameron Kelly out of San Diego State. And Cameron Kelly was one of my sleepers in last draft as a DB. And I actually projected him to move over to safety because he played safety in his first 2 years at San Diego State. And I think in his third year or fourth year, he played free safety. And he did really good. I think he had 7 interceptions in his final year of college, which is pretty impressive. And unlike the guy from last year, I forgot who the other one was, DeMonte KZ, who also played for San Diego State, who was my sleeper the year before that. He went to he in his second year in Atlanta played very well. I think he led the league in interceptions.
Yeah.
But Cameron Kelly never really found his footing in the NFL. Didn't really go to a team that really fit him. I think he would have been better off in Los Angeles or even Kansas City, I think, would have been a good fit for Kelly. So he's actually playing wide receiver for the Fleet. He's not playing DB, which I find really interesting. He's listed as a wide receiver. And I'm very interested in watching Cameron Kelly. I'm always excited to see like a position swap when you've seen a guy play defense and now he's playing offense. I'm always really excited to see how it changes things and how it affects him as a player. And so Cameron Kelly's my guy to watch going into San Diego. And in general, I don't know who's going to be starting for the Atlanta Legends. I think it's Aaron Murray. It might be.
Aaron Murray's awesome.
And
I like Aaron Murray.
The offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Legends is Mike Vick.
Yep.
And so I think I'm actually going to cheat here, kind of. I'm not going to pick a player. I think I'm just going to pick Michael Vick here. I'm interested in seeing
like
whatever
that
quarterback or how the offense in general performs with Michael Vick as offensive coordinator, because you know he's going to love to get his running back or his quarterback moving. You know he's going to love to get some trickery in there. former quarterback himself, played in the NFL for a long time, as everybody knows, Michael Vick. I'm excited to see the direction that the Legends go with him as offensive coordinator. And obviously I'm rooting for him because I want to see him become an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Wouldn't it be interesting to see the Baltimore Ravens pick up Michael Vick as OC? I don't know.
That would be interesting. I think you're dreaming, but
yeah, I'm dreaming a little bit, but I'm pulling for Michael Vick.
I think this is a good, that's a good, like, good take. Cause Aaron Murray was a little bit mobile, at Georgia, obviously not anything like Michael Vick, but, Aaron Murray had some legs on him. I really enjoyed watching Aaron. I was trying to decide between who I would talk about, Trevor Knight or Aaron Murray, but you know, I'm going to pick a Sooner always. But yeah, Aaron Murray's a good one, and I like the switch up with Michael Vick because I think this is a good like test. If Vick wants to go to the NFL and coach, I think this is the a good place to test it out. So,
yeah, for sure.
The AAF starts Saturday, right?
Yep. And I think it's Fleet versus the Commanders. The San Antonio Commanders is going to be the first game that is actually nationally broadcasted.
It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Yeah. And I think the, Atlanta plays Saturday too. Yeah, Atlanta plays at 7 o'clock Central Time. See, that's all nice. Everything's Central Time, for me at least. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just picking it up because of where I am. But, yep. So, definitely tune into that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be on CBS Sports. So, that's going to be something I'm going to definitely be watching.
We're absolutely going to be talking about it next week as well. We're going to do a lot of AAF stuff because we're really excited for it, and we think it's going to be a unique experience for us and the people who listen. So keep an eye out for that. A lot of AAF stuff coming out. We're definitely going to try to get our foot through the door on that one.
Football all year round at this point. I love it. It's awesome. We'll only be without football for like 2 months now at this point. So
yeah, because I think when the AAF actually ends, there's only like a month until the draft.
I think it's actually less than that. I think it's weeks until the draft. If I remember right,
I'm happy.
So yeah, I know, right? Yeah, because the playoffs, actually the championship is April 27th. So the AAF literally ends when the draft is happening, I'm pretty sure.
When's the draft start? 22nd?
22nd, somewhere in there. So the playoffs is April 20th and April 21st. And then it's the championship. So I think the championship is after the draft. So I like that. Gives us some...
No off season.
Let's do it. I love it. Make sure you guys watch the AAF. But that is all the time we have for today. You have... me, Daniel, and Jason, like I said at the beginning, Caleb will be back with us next time. Kind of see what happens in the next couple weeks. Been a lot of different things happening that we talked about that happened this week. So we'll recap some stuff. Can't wait to recap this AAF weekend. It's gonna be awesome. We've got exciting times ahead for sure. So. All right. Well, you guys have a good rest of your week, weekend, whatever. We are signing out.